Phone lines are open, and it is time for You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers. Oh, and a big controversy we're going to address right here on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I am sitting in Orlando, Florida, coming your way live on The Line of Fire. It's Friday, which means you've got questions, we've got answers. And a number of you have questions about something that took place yesterday that I want to interact with constructively on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Now, I am in Orlando right now, but the plan is that I'm scheduled to fly up to New York City on Monday night. So all of our friends in New York and Northeast in the midst of the blizzard, I just hope you are safe and able to function all right in the midst of it. And hopefully this won't hinder any plans with us getting up early next week and being in Nassau and Suffolk counties on Wednesday and Thursday and Manhattan Thursday afternoon. Again, 866-348-7884. Many of you know that there is a lot of controversy that I get involved with. For example, taking on issues having to do with homosexuality or gay activism in society, debating rabbis about who Jesus is, being in the midst of revival, which always generates controversy. I've said many times you can have controversy without revival, but you can't have revival without controversy. And then many times tackling issues that I feel are important that I know will draw controversial responses. What I always try to do is use controversies redemptively. Use them in a way that we can talk through difficult, challenging issues in a redemptive way. For example, the tragic death of Trayvon Martin, the George Zimmerman trial. We talked a lot about racial issues during that time. We talked about blind spots that different communities might have, the white community, the black community, the Hispanic community. It was a minefield to walk through, but we did it to be constructive and to be redemptive. And overall, it ended up being really fruitful. It deepened our understanding from different communities, different backgrounds, different ethnic perspectives, and I think helped us to realize how much we need each other and how much we are united together in Jesus. When the Strange Fire Conference was announced back around June, when people started asking me about it, I felt burdened immediately to address these things. Little did I know I'd end up writing a book, Authentic Fire, a response to John MacArthur's Strange Fire, that would come out just a matter of weeks after his book came out and the conference was held. But from day one, the purpose has been redemptive. From day one, the purpose has been let us address these issues and grow from them and move forward by them. Well, I received an invitation to appear on Benny Hinn's TV show to record a couple of episodes. To fly down to Orlando this Thursday, would be yesterday, to record some shows for his TV broadcast, which I believe reaches about 20 million people in something like 200 nations. So it goes literally around the world. And I had to be in Orlando on Saturday anyway, so the timing was providential. The question was, there are many people who follow Benny Hinn's ministry and love his ministry and believe that God's using him in a mighty way. And there are many who criticize his ministry, will say he's a false prophet and a heretic, and I should be calling out someone like him. Is it wise to take an invitation like that? Who is he really? What's the purpose of appearing on a show like that? I know that many of you have only heard of me since the Strange Fire Conference. And you're very cautious about charismatic issues. Others have been supporting our ministry, walking with it for many years. This appearing on the broadcast has stirred a lot of controversy. I want to address it. Nothing to defend here. I want to address this constructively and help us move forward. We'll do that, and I want to take your questions.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I will be taking your calls on a wide range of subjects, including if you want to interact with me about the subject we're talking about now, namely my decision to appear on Benny Hinn's TV show. Let me say this, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I appreciate the fact that he gave me access to his entire audience. I appreciate that fact. I appreciate the fact that he basically gave me carte blanche to speak very, very freely about issues that we were discussing. I appreciate the things he had to say on the air. And I appreciate the fact that it was supposed to be one or two interviews, ended up being 5 days worth, with a real desire to continue to interact on a personal level. Mm-hmm. Now, by the way, I'm not under attack today. I posted some things on social media about being on the air with him. I posted a picture. If I posted it in a way that seemed aggressive or seemed as if I was trying to provoke controversy, that wasn't the intent. I apologize if that's how it came across. I simply didn't want you to hear through the grapevine or just on TV the week of the 13th that I was appearing on the air with Benny Hinn and his ministry. I wanted to say it. And from my perspective, the shows were amazing shows. And I hope you'll watch them and then come to your own conclusion about them. So the fact that this has exploded on social media and that someone is called it with Benny Hinngate or something, this is going to discredit me among non-charismatics for life. That is a zero concern. I'm not under any attack. Okay. I have nothing to defend. I'm not under any attack. There's a healthy discussion taking place. Some places unhealthy. I want to make it as healthy as possible. All right. 866-348-7884. The primary reason that I'm addressing this is not that I feel I have to explain what I do to other people. I pray. I seek the Lord for wisdom. First and foremost, I take counsel with Nancy, then with others close to me. And I do the best I can to honor the Lord and do what I feel is right. And in this case, I don't feel that I have to defend something or explain it, except this. There are many who don't know me that well that have real issues with Benny Hinn, that think that he is a false prophet, a heretic, etc., that think that he is the picture of charismania. And you can't understand why I would be on the air with him, even if it was to get a message out that somehow it would be endorsing him. And you love me, you love my ministry, but you're troubled and you don't understand it and you're questioning my discernment. I'm addressing these things in order to be of help to you as you process this and as you get to know me better, because my goal is to serve as many of you as possible. And in point of fact, I've mentioned this many times, I have taught in seminaries that do not believe in the gifts and power of the Spirit today, but they have asked me to come in and teach on Jewish apologetics or a book of the Bible. And I've come in and done that gladly because I could serve them in that capacity. I've said this before. I don't expect it to happen. I'm not holding my breath. But if Pastor MacArthur Seminary, Master Seminary, today called me and said, could you come out and address issues about homosexual activism and how to address them with compassion? Or could you give us a seminar on Jewish apologetics? I would consider it an honor, and I would do it with joy, even if I was told, now, you're not allowed to say a single word about charismatic issues. Well, I wouldn't anyway, because that would be divisive in that setting, so I wouldn't do it. Again, I'm not expecting that they would do that. All I'm saying is I would gladly go and serve in that setting. And wherever I can go and exalt Jesus and work with others who love the Lord to exalt Jesus together, I want to do that. And I get criticized on all different fronts. And some of you say, well, that's the issue. You see, in this case, he's a false teacher, false prophet, heretic. Oh, okay. So let's just talk this through constructively. Can we do this? I really hope that this can be a model for how to discuss these kinds of issues. Let's remember that as soon as I heard about the Strange Fire Conference and was burdened about it and felt burdened by the Lord to address it, I've publicly and privately asked for an audience one-on-one with John MacArthur. That has not been granted. If I rightly understood Phil Johnson today, he said that there, from Phil Johnson, there's an unequivocal no. I thought there was an unequivocal no to coming on the radio with me, which I understand that setting would be different. But that's been my number one thing. Let's sit down and talk privately, one-on-one. Number two, let us publicly debate the issues. What does the Bible say about the gifts of the Spirit for today? Find someone from the seminary or speaker at Strange Fire. Let's publicly, constructively debate them and model, as Dr. James White and I have sought to do, model how to have our differences as brothers within the body. And then I've written a whole book to respectfully address the issues. And anyone who's read Authentic Fire knows I don't respond to the attacks with my own attacks. I respond honoring John MacArthur, although I feel many of the things said were horrific and outrageous. And I've had people say, stay away from him. He's blaspheming the Spirit. You want nothing to do with him. I reject that. I reject that. I honor him. And I'm going to reach out, even if I still get rejected, and I'll put the issues on the table with the book. And I'm pleased to see that many people who bought Strange Fire are also buying Authentic Fire, so they can read the issues side by side. Someone was buying my books. They said, should I read his too? Well, read both. Read both, by all means. Look at the issues, understand them, and you'll see my spirit throughout in the book. So when I was invited to be on Benny Hinn's broadcast, let me give you a little history. I heard years ago that he had made a comment, and everyone's posting it today on my Facebook pages and Twitter. He said there are nine gods, and each member of the Trinity is three gods. He made an odd comment and immediately apologized for it, and then sought counsel from theologians to help him understand biblical issues better. Okay. Humbled himself and reached out to other leaders to help be mentored, and immediately repudiated the comment where he was saying that each member of the Trinity is triune, therefore it's like nine gods. Okay, it was a ridiculous comment, immediately repudiated, and never brought up since. Now, just play clip number one.
People who reject Jesus Christ forever will be separated from God, burning in a lake of fire. Only through Jesus Christ is there salvation. Nobody will get to heaven by accident. It's a decision.
All right. Again, just in terms of the gospel message that he presents, as I understand at the end of every one of his meetings, we'll go to the next clip, Joey.
And I'm here to tell every one of you, Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ is the way to heaven. There is no other way to God. And I'm here to tell you boldly, it's not Muhammad, it's not Buddha, it's not some god of some Hindu something. My brother, there's only one name and only one person through whom you can be saved, and that name is Jesus and only Jesus.
Now, one other statement. We ended up talking about the love of God and the wrath of God, the fear of the Lord yesterday. And I'm going to talk a few more minutes, all right? Then you can call in. I'll take calls and interact about this and other subjects. But I want to take some time to get this out constructively. Just play clip number three, Joey, about the love of God and the wrath of God.
God's love is eternal, and God's love is free. But never insult him. Be careful. God's love is as perfect as his wrath. Just because God is love, don't ever, ever forget he is also a consuming fire. We are to fear the Lord. If you only preach the love of God, then people do not see a full picture.
All right. One of my grads traveled with his ministry for a couple of years and said, Dr. Brown, you and Benny Hinn need to get together. I've listened to him preach for 2 years, and he preaches a clear message of salvation. He preaches against sin. He preaches holiness. He preaches repentance. You need to get together. I said, yeah, you know, I don't monitor different ministries. Our ministry here is not the watchdog policeman ministry. You have no idea how many videos are sent to us. Have you seen this ministry, this ministry, this ministry, this ministry exposing this one? And we just don't sit around and watch all of those. I said, look, there's a lot of controversy. I've heard all kinds of things over the years. I don't watch Christian TV for the most part, very rarely, but I've heard different things over the years. And he said, Dr. Brown, I'm telling you, Orthodox, clear message preached day and night. I said, yeah, I don't know. I've heard finance issues. Not sure. Let me give it prayerful consideration. And wouldn't the best thing possible be that a personal relationship opens up, that a personal relationship opens up where there can be personal interaction?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on this Friday. You've got questions, we've got answers. I am first addressing a major controversial issue in a constructive way, and then I will get to your calls. So be patient, and I'll get to your calls and continue to interact with these issues as well. 866-348-7884. By the way, if you're not connected with me via Facebook or Twitter, just go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org, and click on the Facebook icon or the Twitter icon to connect, or the YouTube icon to subscribe to our YouTube videos. We just posted one called Hyper Grace, What Are You Drinking? That will explain graphically in a 3-minute video why I wrote the Hyper Grace book. I also want to give another bit of perspective. I have been slandered, maligned, falsely spoken of over the years, as other public figures have. But because of that, I am less inclined to listen to all of the spiritual police out there that want to tell me about this ministry and that ministry and this ministry and that ministry. By the way, if I listened to all of them, then I would disqualify every one of you. Every one of you belongs to somebody that people have written to me telling me to stay away from. Speaking broadly, okay? I want to know the facts for myself. For example, I have no idea what happened with Benny Hinn's past life. All I know is he reconciled with his wife. They were divorced, and they reconciled and remarried. It troubles me when people will just post on Facebook calling him an adulterer. How do you know that? When was that proven? And does it mean anything to you that the man is back with his wife? And I'm quite sure that some of those calling him adulterers in the Facebook posts are full of lust themselves and have committed adultery with their heart, but that's fine because somebody sees that. So because I get everybody telling me this one's a bad one, stay away from this one's a bad one, stay away from them, I do my best to judge for myself. How? As I feel burdened to address a certain issue, as I feel directed to look into something. For example, I take issue with Pastor Joseph Prince and many of his teachings in my Hyper Grace book. But I constantly say I said it yesterday talking to people, his message has helped many, many people find the grace and goodness and love of God. And I'm jealous to see that preserved. So I want to constructively differ. I'm not going to brand him a false teacher or a heretic. There are differences, but I deeply appreciate the good that he does and have constructive issue with other areas. So I prayed about this, about going on the air. I did not want to stir unnecessary controversy. I wanted to be honoring to the broadcast if I was going to be on. And when I heard that Benny Hinn not only wanted to talk about Jesus in the Old Testament, and hence my Real Kosher Jesus book, which we could share with other people, but was burdened about hyper grace as he was hearing about it more, and that his own words conveyed to me was that people are not teaching enough about the Lordship of Jesus and the fear of the Lord and repentance, I prayed and discussed it with Nancy and felt, yeah, I should do this. I should do this. And let me just say this. Here's my determination. I'm going to go in there with a clean slate. That was my determination. Because I've heard all kinds of things, pro and con, from people close, from people far. I don't know about his personal finances. I haven't looked into it. Hey, look, one of the main speakers at Strange Fire, his annual compensation that I saw on internet was $500,000. Okay. Does he give it all away? I don't know. All right. So I'm not out to police everybody all the time. When I see error, when I'm concerned with things, I look into it. But there are a million things being taught every single day. And if I spent every day correcting what I saw was error, nobody would stand. I'll find fault with just about anything out there. So I said, I'm going in with a clean slate. Now, here's what I encountered yesterday. I encountered a man with great humility towards me. I encountered someone who seemed very excited about Jesus, very devoted to the Word. In fact, finding Jesus present in the Scriptures in many places I would not have thought of looking, but in other words, being that Christocentric in his reading of Scripture, being very much concerned about the fear of the Lord and repentance and holiness, and very desirous of getting these materials out to his viewing audience, and very desirous of having an ongoing relationship with me. To me, that's a wonderful open door. If, in fact, the many things that have been spoken about him are true, okay, I'm coming in with a clean slate, all right? Then as I develop a relationship, hopefully I can be a blessing in his life. Here, I'm trying to interact with people for months, years in different settings, and they won't even sit with me. This has happened in other settings for years. Won't even sit, won't even talk. And here I have an open door, not just to share wonderful truth for 5 days with perhaps 20 million people. Is the fact that a few hundred or a few thousand people are going to be upset with me for it an issue? No, except I want to be able to serve those people as well and not alienate them unnecessarily. If anything in the way I posted or things were put on Twitter in the midst of trying to catch up at the end of the day and try to move a discussion forward constructively, if there was any lack of wisdom in it or anything wasn't done carefully enough, I apologize from my heart. Because my desire is to serve as many as possible without diluting the gospel a drop. Now, here's what I encourage you to do. And I'm going to go to the phone as soon as we come back. All right? Here's what I encourage you to do. The shows begin to broadcast January 13th. 5 days. We do 5 days recording. Two days, just the two of us, then with Dan Kalenda and of Christ for All Nations and Michael Koulianos, who's Benny Hinn's son-in-law. All of us together. We did three more days together. I watched after that, by the way, as he went to then pray for someone that had come in, a boy with cancer, who he reached out to compassionately and prayed for, and went straight from there to a meeting to minister to other people that he had set up because of an overflow crowd. He couldn't get to people the other night, wanted to pray for them and minister to them. That's just what I witnessed, okay? And I had people flooding Facebook thanking me for doing it and saying how his ministry changed their lives, and others flooding Facebook saying he's a false prophet and heretic and the only business you have being on a show is to call him out. And I appreciate the passion behind those perspectives, but I'm committed to walking this through on a much bigger picture, long-term, with larger redemptive goals. Now, one other thing, and then we'll come back and go straight to your calls. My Hyper Grace book. And by the way, for those who say we do this to generate controversy, so look, out of all the books we ever sold through this radio broadcast, all the special offers that we ever have through this radio broadcast and directly through our ministry that we email out and so on, just so you know, my total income for me personally, total income of royalties that have come to me through all of those combined, all these 5+ years on the radio, is a combined zero. Just so you know. We have set aside just a few more copies of Hyper Grace. We have numbered them from the first printing, and I'm signing them. It just makes it special for folks, and they've appreciated when we've done this. $30 postage paid for the numbered signed copy with a scripture verse to you when we send it. And it's been meaningful to folks, and we're blessed to make it meaningful. And it's your way of standing with us and helping us. So give me a call, 1-800-278-9978. We've got folks ready to take your order. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978, or go to AskDrBrown.org.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. I'm coming away live from Orlando, Florida, and I am using offices at Christ for All Nations and sitting at the desk of a man that I believe to be one of the greatest evangelists of all time, and certainly one of the greatest evangelists of our day, and one of the most Jesus-centered, soul-winning-centered men I've ever met in my life, namely Reinhard Bonnke. And as I sit behind his desk, I'm tremendously honored to do so and to be able to do the broadcast from here, where there's others would be upset with me, feeling that he has been exposed as false. You see, this is just what we deal with all the time, and I want to serve folks on both sides. 866-348-7884. One more point, and then I'm going to the phones. I am not trying to walk a tightrope and live in such a way that everybody likes me and thinks well of me. And obviously, no one can do that. John Wesley said, "We're all approve, few profit." One of the Puritans said, "Ministers are physicians, not cooks, and should not study to please the palate, but to cure the patient." I personally believe that in the larger interest of the gospel, in getting important messages out to 20 million people, perhaps, and in beginning to forge a relationship with Benny Hinn, that everything that took place yesterday was God-glorifying and positive and will prove to be right. That being said, some people have already come against me and said, "This proves that you have no discernment and that everything, all the attacks in the Strange Fire Conference are true." You're entitled to that opinion. That's fine. You're entitled to feel that way, okay? Ultimately, you'll give account to God and I'll give account to God, but let's by all means pray for each other. Let's at least commit to pray for each other to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. But I just want to say this one last thing and then go to the phones. There are coworkers of mine, like Mike Bickle. Yeah, I understand there was controversy about the Kansas City Prophets in 1980, certain controversy. I know Mike's take on all of that as well. As far as I know, Mike, he is a very devoted man, devoted to prayer, devoted to the word, devoted to simple, holy living, very much in love with Jesus, very much devoted to making disciples in prayer and then to go to the nations with the gospel. Lou Engel is a good friend of mine, a man of prayer and fasting with a tremendous burden to see America turn to God, tremendous burden to see the eradication of abortion, and now a growing burden for the unreached peoples around the world. I count it a privilege to have Lou as a friend. I was involved as a leader in the Brownsville Revival, which I was an eyewitness to for 4 years. And yeah, it's imperfect, came through imperfect human beings, but God did amazing, wonderful things. The most wonderful move that I've had the privilege of being involved with in my life, and continues to bear wonderful fruit of people touching the revival, serving the Lord sacrificially, and glorifying Jesus around the world. And I prayed for thousands of people and seen them touched by the power of God and seen them, quote, slain in the spirit. So in other words, many of you have a massive issue with me because of those things. You already question my discernment because I call Mike Bickle and Lou Engel friends. You question my discernment because I say Reinhard Bonnke is one of the greatest evangelists of all time. You question my discernment because I was involved in the Brownsville Revival. So being on Benny Hinn's show, all that did was just brought out more mockery. I just want to encourage those who posted mocking tweets and Facebook comments, just to ask if you did them in a right and godly spirit. If you feel you did, hey, no offense on this end, that's between you and God, but perhaps you just need to listen a little bit more. By all means, read Authentic Fire, go through the scriptural argumentation, historical argumentation there, and then let's talk. Phone calls, we come back immediately.
It It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. Thanks for holding patiently on the phones. 866-34-TRUTH. Normally on Friday, you've got questions, we've got answers. We go to the phones very early on. But I wanted to constructively address controversy surrounding my appearing on Benny Hinn's TV show. Again, my appreciation to him for giving me a wonderful opportunity to share words of truth with millions of his listeners and to let them know about books like Real Kosher Jesus and Hyper Grace. And I'm hoping to have a relationship with Benny Hinn. And if concerns that some of you have about him are true, then I'll be in a position to be of help. And if they're not true, I'll be in a position to be a blessing in other ways. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the phone, starting with Justin in Edmond, Oklahoma. Thanks so much for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Michael. Good to be with you.
Well, thank you.
Michael, I'm not sure if you know who I am, but I've done an enormous amount of study on Benny Hinn. I actually wrote my master's thesis on Benny Hinn. I have attended probably 15 of his healing crusades, studied the Word of Faith movement in great depth, and I can tell you that Benny Hinn is, by every single biblical criterion, a false prophet, a false teacher. He meets all of the criteria. This man is, if he is not a false teacher, if he is not a false prophet, then that term has absolutely no meaning whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I find it interesting that one of the great criticisms of the Strange Fire Conference is that it brushes everybody, all the charismatics, with a broad stroke. And I have to agree with what some of those who have chimed in on your recent participation with Benny Hinn's program, that it is true that you being one of the supposed clear-thinking charismatics, one of the intellectual leaders in the charismatic movement, by you going on Benny Hinn's program and breaking metaphorical bread with him, having fellowship with him, you are giving him your endorsement, and that does indeed prove the thesis of one of the thesis mm-hmm. of the Strange Fire Conference, and I'm at a loss to understand how you or anyone in good conscience could go on Benny Hinn's program and mm-hmm. and act like it's no big deal, that it's, you know, maybe there's a little error here and there, but you know, he's apologized for it. Well, the teaching that you mentioned about the nine-member Godhead, I've got that documented. It's not something that he just flippantly said. He claims he got that knowledge from God. He claims God told him that. Mm-hmm. And he did not, in fact, apologize for it. He was interviewed by Charisma Magazine in 1993. I've got this documented. And he did not, in fact, apologize for it. I could be right here. He says, quote, "I could feel the," speaking of when he made the statement, he said, "I could feel tension in the congregation, so I tried to clear the air. Jokingly, I said, there must be nine of them. Well, the people laughed, and I thought, boy, that was a dumb thing to say, then I forgot about it."
He immediately did apologize to circles around him. That's well known. But Justin, I really appreciate the call. So let me respond and then ask you a couple of questions so you can clarify further. All right. Mm-hmm. Just a couple things. First thing is, since 1989 in writing and before that speaking, I have addressed issues of abuses in the charismatic Pentecostal movement, as have many others. It's documented. And I don't have to prove that every time it comes up. I've done it over and over again. I've done it for years on the radio. I've done it in writing as of this year many times, and on the radio many times this year. I did a whole show, as people requested it just a couple of months ago, on Word of Faith issues, etc. And in my Authentic Fire book, just to clear the air on that, I have a whole section where I say, okay, here's just little excerpts of things that have been written addressing issues for years and years and years. My Hyper Grace book is addressing, by name, graciously, where I can with brothers, differences with almost all charismatics. Okay, so that's a false charge. It's simply a false charge that we haven't addressed things. You listen to things David Wilkerson said, shouted out for years, and many others. So that's just a false charge. As far as Benny Hinn, I haven't done what you've done. In other words, I have not attended all these meetings. I have not gone through and researched all these things. And I had people telling me completely opposite things that knew him well. The ones that knew him well were telling me something opposite. His website has a very orthodox statement of salvation, how to be saved, born again, etc. That when I did dialogue, that's what I heard from him. If you're right, then I will have the opportunity to address these things as I build a relationship with him, and I look forward to doing that. That's the position with which I came in. I'm more than open to hear any research you have or background, and then I would, the next opportunity I have, sit down and begin to discuss these things without question. But what I'm curious about, though, is when you say a false prophet, what I've heard from him in terms of the way of salvation, and then dialoguing with him yesterday, then going from his website, it's a simple orthodox gospel that we've sinned, been alienated from God. Jesus is the only Savior. We need to turn to him in repentance and faith. And, you know, I could read the whole statement to you. You've obviously done more research than I have. So why would you say that he is a wolf? In other words, false prophet is an unsafe person, a wolf in sheep's clothing, who is preaching damnable heresies and leading others to hell with him, not a believer in error, according to New Testament definition. So I'm not challenging you, Justin. I'm asking why you say he doesn't preach a gospel of salvation and is an out-and-out wolf.
I'm not saying that he has never preached the gospel. I've heard him present the gospel pretty well. Now, his preaching on repentance is lacking. And again, I'm saying this, I've studied this man for years. His preaching on repentance is lacking. But has he presented enough of the gospel for people to get saved? Sure. And I have no doubt that people have been saved listening to his gospel presentation. But that is simply God honoring the truth of his word. It has no bearing whatsoever on the man. Benny Hinn is a false prophet. He has dozens and dozens and dozens of false prophecies that have been verified. And I've got these on video. I've got these on mm-hmm. audio, exhaustively documented. As a brief example, on December the 31st, 1989, New Year's Eve services in this church in Orlando, Florida, at the time where you are now, he prophesied. He went into a trance, and God supposedly was giving him visions about major events in the then upcoming decade of the 1990s. And God told him that in the 1990s, the East Coast of America would be ravaged by earthquakes, the economy of the United States would fall, we would have a female president in the White House, and Fidel Castro would die in office. And in 1994, 95, no later than that, says Benny Hinn, God will destroy the homosexual community of America mm-hmm. with fire. None of those came true. And that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Mm-hmm. Just a quick definitional question. I'm not downplaying the importance of this at all. That's why the phone lines are open. That's why I've encouraged people to call. Two quick questions for you. One, you are defining false prophet then as someone who prophesies falsely, even though the person could be saved. Am I understanding you correctly?
No, Benny Hinn is not saved.
Oh, okay.
And I know that sounds judgmental, but there is no way that somebody can be indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God and teach the kind of blasphemies that he has taught, claiming that God has given him these blasphemies. There's no way someone indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God could continue to claim that God is... I was watching him yesterday on his program, and God was giving him words of knowledge about all these people being healed. Michael, I've been to his meetings. I've been in the trenches. I've talked to the people who have been exploited by this man. He gets up and promises people that if they will give him money, if they will sow their seed, God will bring them a harvest, mm-hmm. and if you want healing, I mean,
stay right there. I've got a break coming up. I want to give you a couple more minutes, and then Others are on hold as well. Just want to say this, to be clear, Justin, thank you for laying this out. I just received an email from someone who traveled with Benny Hinn for 20 years, someone I know to be a very solid, committed Christian, and he absolutely vouches for the man, says, does he have faults? Sure, we all do, but absolutely vouches for him and his walk and his life, as do others very close to him. But I appreciate, Justin, you being forthright here. What I want to ask you is, can you be indwelt by the Spirit and make some of the statements that were made at Strange Fire? Those have deeply concerned many in the body. And also, how has Benny Hinn responded? Have you been able to present these things to him? If not, perhaps I'm able to do it. All right, we'll be right back. Thank you so much.
Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for tuning in. It's a different day. Normally, Fridays, you've got questions, we've got answers. We just take all of the questions you have about Bible, theology, whatever, and I've got your e-questions to answer. But because I recorded 5 broadcasts with Benny Hinn yesterday for his TV show that are scheduled to air beginning January 13th, there's controversy surrounding that, and I wanted to talk it through redemptively. And I really appreciate Justin calling from Edmond, Oklahoma. Although I differ, Justin, with some of your conclusions, you know more about this on a certain level than I do, and I appreciate the spirit with which you're sharing things, and I believe you're doing so out of concern. I believe, even though you've come to conclusions that I would not accept, I believe you're doing this, from what I can tell, out of love for God, love for his people, and a desire to keep people from being fleeced and from error. And so I appreciate that, and I hope you take questions I'm having with you to be just that interaction. I'm not saying this to win an argument, but in Authentic Fire, I have citations from Martin Luther that will curl anyone's hair, that are, you take the 10 worst moments on TBN. And by the way, I've played clips from Benny Hinn on the air that I differed with in the past, by the way, and the issues and doctrines I've differed with. But if I read the Luther quotes, take the 10 worst moments on TBN over the last 20 years, they don't come within 100 miles of the Martin Luther comments. Based on what you said about someone could not be indwelt by the Spirit and say those things, and even Martin Luther said God commanded him that he's the one that killed 100,000 peasants and so on. Based on the same criteria, you would say Martin Luther is not saved, correct?
Michael, I don't know. Obviously, I would disagree with that statement from Luther, obviously. I mean, any thinking person would. What kind of repentance he later came to on that would be the question, would be the issue. The thing with Benny Hinn, though, is that he remains unrepentant. He remains unrepentant. He continues up until this very moment to claim that God is speaking to him, giving him dreams, giving him visions, giving him words of knowledge. He continues to exploit the poor, the sick, the desperate, and the widows. I mean, you can't watch TBN. Next time they have one of their praise-a-thons.
I don't watch Justin.
But the thing is, that Michael, is that you need to, because this is who Benny Hinn is.
If that is the case, just to say this quickly, if that is the case, the financial issues, the fundraising, and so on, which others have raised, came up in a conversation last night, then as I have the opportunity, I assure you before God, I'll be addressing these things face to face in as honest a way as I possibly can. I absolutely assure you of that. All right.
His ministry would come to an end if he stopped asking people, if he stopped promising people that God will bring them a miracle if they will sow a seed into his ministry. If he stopped promising people that God will get them out of debt, that he will heal their bodies, that he will save their loved ones, that he will save their marriage. You know, he'll save their dying children if they will just give him money. If he stopped doing that, his ministry would come to an end. That is the totality. That is how he gets, that is how he raises money. And that this is not an aberration from him. This is standard.
Hey, if that is the case, I would be as grieved over it as you would. Perhaps, though, I have an opportunity to address these things. By the way, when I say if, I'm not saying what you're saying is false. I'm simply saying that I have not monitored or tracked these things. The same with 1,000 other ministries I haven't monitored or tracked. Interestingly, in my Hyper Grace book, one of the first authors that I quote in harmony with his position is Steve Lawson. Then I found out later I didn't know who he was, but I got his book on Jonathan Edwards and was really enjoying it about godly disciplines. And I quoted him, and he's one of the speakers at Strange Fire. So I'm not claiming to be expert on everyone. I don't watch certain things because they're very grievous and offensive to me. And if Benny Hinn was in the middle of things that were grievous and offensive, then by all means, they are things that I will absolutely address. I came in with a clean slate yesterday based on hearing all kinds of contrary reports leading up to it. And I'm listening very carefully to you and to others. And when we get off the air, if you'll just stick around 1 second and give Dwight a way to contact you, I'd love to have whatever you have firsthand. Fair enough? Because I've got to run. I'm out of time here. But I'd love to interact further off the air. All right?
Yeah, I'll be happy to supply any information you need. I mean, it's you don't have to watch Benny Hinn long. I guess that's what one of the things I'm kind of incredulous about is that you don't have to watch him long at all before you see this from him. I mean, it's standard.
You know, I haven't watched because I don't watch Christian TV, but I've had friends of mine that I do know well that have walked with him for some years and speak very highly of him. And then I've heard very strong criticisms. But like I said, we get on a regular basis folks weighing in about just about everyone and warning me to stay away from them. And then things that I was involved with firsthand with all kinds of wild, crazy. Look, you know, I'm dealing with folks tweeting yesterday that what happened at Brownsville was akin to Satanism. And you're talking about a sacred repentance-based move that saw thousands and thousands of people come to the Lord and so many serving him around the world today and ministering to the poorest of the poor and giving, you know, doing things that you would rejoice to see just based on hearing your spirit as we talk over the air. So I basically just step away from hearing criticism. Then when I look into something, I look into it. And when I look into it, I will address it as forthrightly as possible. That being said, please do watch the shows that air the week of the 13th as well. I'm not trying to pad his audience. He has enough of an audience. And let me know if you saw a different person, because that's the person that I saw and was with. So no arguing with you, listening carefully, interacting with you, and stay right there. As soon as Dwight is free, he's just going to get a way to stay in touch with you. All right, friends, I'm taking calls right into the next hour. Remember, we're going to be in New York, God willing, if we can get there with the blizzard, Wednesday night in Freeport, Thursday morning, Suffolk County, Thursday afternoon, all afternoon in Manhattan. We'll be doing e-blasts about it. Make sure you get my emails. Go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the email icon. All right, friends, the Hyper Grace book, the first edition, we have a number set aside that have been numbered by a calligrapher that I'll be signing. This is just the first edition, first printing that many people find special. I have $30 postage paid, Hyper Grace, exposing the dangers of the modern grace movement. If you go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, click on latest video, you'll watch a 3-minute video called Hyper Grace, What Are You Drinking? That explains where I wrote the book. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or just go to the website, AskDrBrown, AskDrBrown.org. My bottom line today, I am committed to glorify Jesus in the midst of controversy and to use that controversy as a bridge for constructive discussion. Come now, let us reason together. Phone lines are open, and it is time for You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers. Oh, and a big controversy we're going to address right here on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If you've been trying to get through the last hour, we just now, coming into the new hour, have a couple of phone lines open, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. We had a unique broadcast the first hour on this Friday. You've got questions, we've got answers. We normally just dive into your questions, Bible, theology, practical living, your calls, your e-questions. But because I recorded five shows, the entire week of broadcasting with Benny Hinn to be aired beginning January 13th. It stirred, we did the recording yesterday. I'm in Orlando, Florida right now. It stirred a tremendous amount of controversy and discussion. And I was not asking for people's approval. Do you think I should have gone on the show or not? I prayed, carefully considered things. I know there are many very critical of his ministry. I know there are many that speak very highly of his ministry. I took it as an open door to share the truth of the gospel, to share truths that I have in my book, Real Kosher Jesus and Hyper Grace, with an audience perhaps of 20 million people in 200 nations. In fact, many of the people who take in the Hyper Grace message take it in through the very TV networks that Benny Hinn is on, and he himself was concerned about that doctrine and wanted to address it. I took it as a wonderful open door and came in with a clean slate mentality. I've heard the positive. I've heard the negative. Let me get to know the man personally. Found him in our meeting to be very humble, gracious, very excited about the word, very excited about the Lord, very committed to holiness. You say, oh, man, that's not who he is. He's a false prophet, a heretic. His false prophecies are documented. He uses every carnal fundraising technique that you have renounced on the air. Well, if that's the case, there's an open door to have a relationship and to address these issues. And if things are exaggerated or not accurate, then that will prove true as well. Without question, though, I believe the broadcast will be positively used. And by the way, for those who say, well, you endorsed him by being on a show, I know God's given me a platform. I know I'm respected in many circles. But Benny Hinn reaches far more people than I do right now through his TV broadcasts. I'm not reaching 20 million people a week. It would be wonderful if I was, but I think I'd be deluded to think that I was at this stage of life and ministry. So I would rather look at it that he gave me a platform to get a message out and was in very much in harmony and very gracious and very open to input. So if you really believe there's serious error there, then pray that God will use me to be a blessing and help in his life. Is that fair enough? And by the way, I'm not comparing Benny Hinn to Piers Morgan in any way. But I've had many platforms to be on, hostile platforms, negative platforms, platforms where I can barely get a word in. But if I feel it's a constructive platform to speak and be a witness for the Lord, I gladly do it. And again, I very much appreciate the wide open door. I never expected to be on five shows, an entire week's broadcast, with a wide open door for much more and for personal interaction. Perhaps it's something that would be constructive to walk through for the glory of God. I said it in the first hour, I'm not expecting this invitation. Here, I'll give you a different example. I'm friends with some professors at Dallas Theological Seminary. One in particular spent some time with the president of the seminary in China. And they are a cessationist school, but not militant cessationists. They work with me. My colleague works with me, has been on my radio show, Daryl Bach, as a charismatic. We joke about our differences. Let's say Dallas Theological Seminary is cessationist and asked me to teach Jewish apologetics. I'd do it, and if someone brought up the things of the Spirit, I'd say, well, that's not what I'm here to talk about, because I'd honor the school, even though we have a doctrinal difference. Is it the same here, or is it different? We'll talk about it.
Flame, send the fire. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, folks have been saying to me, there's no way you don't know about all these prophecies. There's no way you don't know about all these false prophecies. There's no way you don't know about all these fundraising issues. Actually, I haven't followed it. Well, it's your responsibility. No, it's not my responsibility. It's my responsibility to honor the Lord and to do what he's called me to do. I am terribly grieved and burdened over many things in the body. I'm grieved over false prophecies. I'm grieved over lack of prophecy. I'm grieved over Pentecostal craziness. I'm grieved over people who say tongues is private gibberish. I have to focus on what the Lord gives me to focus on. And often when I write books on subjects, that's when I give it focus, and then those books are to speak for themselves for years to come, and then I move to something else. And this radio show and our ministry has not been based on playing clips from others to say how wrong they are. Now, some may be called to do that. That's fine. There are times when I will do it when something comes to my attention. But again, I just remind you that if that's what I spent my time doing, that first I'd have an over-exalted view of my own rightness, number one. And number two, virtually all of you would be written off for something you believe that I would take issue with. 866-34-TRUTH. That being the case, Matt, you're saying we played some of the... Yeah, let me know what you said we did play and differ with. But anyway, that being said, having an open door now with Benny Hinn, having him graciously extend a platform for, and I've made it clear, hey, I want to be in dialogue, glad to be on the air with you. If these things that are being said are accurate, and I'm not claiming anyone's manufacturing them, okay, aside from judging the man's relationship with God, if these things are accurate, then by all means, there are things that are going to come up very early in interaction, and you perhaps I've got a better opportunity of being a blessing than anybody else. What do you think of that? And perhaps you can rejoice that we got to bring very important messages to a whole lot of people that I might not have been able to get to. And I think you'd be pleased with what Benny Hinn said on the shows as well. What do you know? 866-34-TRUTH. All right, everybody's friend from Houston, Texas, Seiko, how you doing, man?
You know, I don't know about it. I'm everybody's friend, so
Somehow you get in everywhere. You get people to call you back and get. I don't know how you manage to do it. You bivocational pastor, just kind of minding your own business, and you seem to be everywhere. You even got me on your show as well, and we're still supposed to do another. But anyway, I'm messing with you, buddy. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to, you know, kind of like, I guess, you know, echo what Justin Peters had mentioned, who was the first call, I believe, on your show this afternoon. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, we don't have a heaven or hell of putting anybody in, but I do believe that the Bible is clear, Dr. Brown, when it comes to people who are false teachers. I mean, you know, scripture from Old and New Testament is definitely clear. I do not consider Benny Hinn a follower of Jesus Christ. I do not consider him a Christian. I consider him a person that fits the qualifications of 2 Peter 2 and also Jude. He's devoid of the Spirit. Of course, a person can give a biblical presentation of the gospel. I mean, you heard the old saying, you know, a broke clock is right twice a day. But it doesn't mean that person themselves are submitting themselves under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And I know you're a big lordship person as well, like I am. But Matthew 7:21-23 makes it clear. I mean, a person can preach a biblical message of the gospel, they can do works and miracles, and Jesus will still tell them straight up, pointedly, depart from me, I never knew you.
So, yeah, just to be clear then, and I appreciate your concerns, I'm not minimizing anything. And by the way, you know, I just want to say this quickly. When I spent years working on answering Jewish objections to Jesus, or working on a Jeremiah commentary, or researching for A Queer Thing Happened to America, I have focuses on certain things and then practical ministry that I'm doing. And really, I'm not listening to what Kenneth Copeland said on TV, or what Benny Hinn said on TV, or what Charles Stanley said on TV, for that matter. In other words, I'm not focused on a lot of what's happening, because there's so many issues that are consuming me day and night. And again, I just want to reiterate it, having received so much false criticism in my years in Pensacola, which comes up to this day. I mean, things I knew to be blatantly false, you know, as false as saying that you were a pygmy Eskimo calling from Timbuktu right now, which I'm pretty sure is not the case, based on your family picture and you're calling from Houston. But because of that, I don't sit around, you know, and we get endless. You should see all the stuff that's been sent to me about John MacArthur and how come I'm not renouncing him on this and this and this. I just ignore it, honestly. So it's not that I'm living in a bubble. It's just I'm fighting a ton of different wars at the same time. And I have addressed many charismatic abuses over the years. But I'm not minimizing anything whatsoever. And that's why I'm listening carefully. And in fact, I assume that was Justin Peters when he said, "You don't know who I am." I said, "Justin," that's why I immediately went to get his personal contact info and had my producer track him, you know, we'll follow up. But just explain to me, you know, you did say it's not for you to put someone in heaven and hell, but based on definitions, scriptural definitions of false prophet, Matthew 7, false teacher, 2 Peter 2, and then, you know, the lordship issue that Benny Hinn cannot be a follower of Jesus. So just explain that one point, how it is that he is clearly, undeniably out from under the lordship of Jesus. Not challenging, simply want to know where you're coming from.
Yeah, I mean, well, number one, I mean, if you're misrepresenting the very God that you say that you serve, it's just like if I was an ambassador of the United States, okay, and I'm supposed to represent the nation that I have come from. But if I misrepresent that nation, then what does that say about me as a citizen? Do I really value the citizenship that I say that I claim to belong to? Or am I, you know, a person that basically is guilty of treason? Benny Hinn has made several statements, and I'll give you this one. Well, maybe more than what I will admit. But he said that that Adam could plot in the Genesis account. He said that everything that Adam had called, he was able to do after his own kind. He said, you know, if a bird can fly, that meant that Adam could fly. He even mangled the Hebrew word likeness. You don't have to take my word for it. Just Google it. Of course, it's on TV.
By the way, just as an aside, he wanted to test his Hebrew and actually read very nicely from the opening verses of Genesis in Hebrew. That better reading than I hear from almost any. There was just one thing with a slightly wrong accent. So I was quite impressed because he grew up in Israel having to read that. Doesn't mean what you're saying is false. But tell you what, do better than that. Whether he said Adam could fly, rabbinic tradition said in two strides he could step around the entire world. He was so glorious and powerful. Give me a better example of why.
Go ahead. April 2nd, 2000, he said that Jesus Christ was going to physically appear in some church meeting. How's that one?
Okay, and that would then
say to you. That was on TBN.
That
was on TBN, too.
Right, and that would say to you that he cannot be a follower of Jesus if he says that.
Not just that. I mean, his whole ministry, Dr. Brown, is based on falsehood. Not only that, he said that he told people that were listening to his ministry, and this was televised as well, that to get their dead relatives out of their grave and put their dead hands on the TV screen for them to be resurrected. Now, I mean, this is not.
You got to set here. Do me a favor. I think you can send me direct message. I think I did follow you on Twitter at your request.
Yes,
shoot me a direct link to that one. Okay.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. If you don't mind. Hey. Listen. I want to give some time to others, but I wanted you to have the opportunity to raise these issues in my hearing and the hearing of others. Okay. And again. I just say this last thing. I don't know if you remember this, but there was a critic of yours, and someone sent me a link to what they had to say, and I sent it to you, and you wanted to explain to me about this critic. By the way, I'm not comparing you to Benny Hinn or to anyone else.
Right.
And
right.
I sent you the link to be aware. You wanted me to explain. I said, no, I'm not. I didn't watch it. I don't really care what the guy had to say. I just wanted you to know what's out there. That is my normal response because there's so much stuff and because I've seen the ugliness of attacks in the body. So when I do focus on things, I address them. I've played clips from Creflo Dollar on the air and renounced them and said, this is wrong. This is dangerous. So all you're saying is not going in one ear, out the other. It's being listened to, and then it'll be looked at carefully. And if things are true, trust me, it appears I have an open door to have real constructive interaction with Benny Hinn. And either way, I'll say this last thing, and thank you for calling. Either way, I am pleased with the opportunity to reach as many people, pleased that he gave me the platform to reach as many people. And on a personal level, I'll continue to believe the best until there's evidence to the contrary. People are presenting me with evidence. I appreciate it. All right, thanks for the call, brother. Back to your calls when we come back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, over the years, I have walked through many, many open doors and been criticized for them and felt it was something the Lord wanted me to do and that would have longer-term fruit. So I'm never happy with grieving people that believe in the work we're doing or trying to wrap their minds around different, you know, maybe as a Jewish believer that challenges you certain things I say as a Jewish believer, as a charismatic believer, as a non-Calvinist. I don't enjoy people getting grieved or upset or confused because as much as I am invigorated by controversy when it's for the truth of the gospel, I'm a peacemaker. I'm constantly seeking to meet with people one-on-one and interact in the midst of differences from all backgrounds, rabbis, gay activists, those within the body that I differ with, they're at least to understand each other better and to get past wrong characterizations. So I don't just glibly think, oh, this is going to stir up controversy. Cool. And it's very amusing to me that people say, well, you just got into this to sell your authentic fire book. So hang on. John MacArthur had a whole conference and controversy surrounding it for months and put out a book on the subject, but that was not to sell books and make money. And by the way, I don't think he did it for that purpose. It doesn't dawn on me that he did it for that purpose. I believe he did it because he was genuinely burdened and concerned. I differ with some of his concerns and I affirm other concerns. You say, if you affirm his concerns, why did you appear on Benny Hinn's show? Because I've heard positive and negative about Benny Hinn. And because the door was extended to me and I wanted to get to know him firsthand and was very thrilled with what we did get to talk about on the air to a lot of people and raise serious issues about serious questions. And the fact that some people who were almost ready to crucify me anyway because I'm charismatic or because I'm not a Calvinist or because I was part of the Brownsville Revival or because I pray for people and sometimes they fall into the Spirit's power, I wasn't a tenuous enough relationship with them anyway. It didn't take much to set off, oh, there you go, that proves it, and all the mockery to pour forth. Hey, I was never in your good standing anyway. It's going to take more than this either way to ultimately decide where our relationship goes. 866-348-7884. I'm going to go back to the phones in a moment, but the Justin that called earlier, Justin Peters, is one of the speakers at the Strange Fire Conference. I really appreciated his gentle tone and his desire in a documented way to get information out that he felt was literally damning to Benny Hinn. And I look forward to further interaction with Justin. He said in his mind it's not possible for Benny Hinn to be saved because of blasphemies that he spoke claiming they came from God. And I asked him the question, could Martin Luther be saved? And Justin politely said he wasn't there to judge that, but did Luther repent of some of the things that he said? No, he didn't. He didn't. For example, Martin Luther said this famously, almost every night when I wake up, the devil is there and wants to dispute with me. I've come to this conclusion when the argument that the Christian is without the law and above the law doesn't help, I instantly chase the devil away with bypassing gas. Well, not quoted exactly. Luther said, even if we were to kill or commit adultery thousands of times each day, that would not separate us from Jesus. So much for lordship salvation. And then, actually, I played a little God's quote from Benny Hinn on the air some months ago that I took issue with. Often, though, the way things are said can be misunderstood. So I want to talk with someone and say, what exactly did you mean when you said that? Martin Luther said this: every Christian is by faith so exalted above all things that by virtue of a spiritual power, he is Lord of all things without exception, so that nothing can do him any harm. As a matter of fact, all things are made subject to him and are compelled to serve him in obtaining salvation. What if Benny Hinn or Kenneth Copeland had said that, as opposed to Martin Luther? What was his counsel about the peasants? Like the mules will not move unless you perpetually whip them with rods, so the civil powers must drive the common people, whip, choke, hang, burn, behead, and torture them, that they may learn to fear the powers that be. He said a peasant is a hog, for when a hog is slaughtered, it is dead. And in the same way, the peasant does not think about the next life, for otherwise he would behave differently. He wrote this: on the obstinate, hard, and blinded peasants, let no one have mercy, but let everyone as he is able use, stab, slay, lay about him as though among mad dogs, so that peace and safety may be maintained. And when he was reproached later in life for using such violent language and for inciting territorial lords to merciless slaughter, they killed over 100,000 peasants. Killed over 100,000 peasants. This is reported by historian William McGrath. Luther said this: it was I, Martin Luther, who slew all the peasants in the insurrection, for I commanded them to be slaughtered. All their blood is upon my shoulders, but I cast it on our Lord God, who commanded me to speak in this way. Now, I'm not minimizing any false prophecy that may have been spoken. I'm asking for links to these. So you never heard about? No, I just have not tracked these things. We get accusations about all kinds of people all the time, and we don't spend our time tracking those. All right? But I want to say I'm not minimizing any false prophecy spoken. I'm not minimizing any wrong fundraising techniques, sinful fundraising techniques. If those things are accurate and I have opportunity to address them, I absolutely will. And anybody who knows me knows quite well that I will, without hesitation, regardless of the cost involved. I've lost a whole lot of things. I've lost everything at different times because I stood on what was a conviction in my heart, with humility, but not being able to be moved from that conviction. But let me just say this. Martin Luther, in his words and what his words provoked, is guilty of far more, especially with his words against the Jews that were then utilized by Adolf Hitler in the Holocaust, has done far more damage than the 10 worst charismatic preachers in the world today. And yet, he is viewed as a hero and his faults overlooked. Ah, that was Luther. How about judging everybody by the same standard? Hey, I had a publisher that told me flat out Martin Luther was not saved. It's the same logic as Justin Peters. It's impossible to know Jesus and say what he said. And no, to our knowledge, he didn't repudiate them. Just something to think about. Now, wading into controversial issues, my book, Hyper Grace, it's primarily addressing issues within the charismatic movement. I love the message of grace. This is a book for grace lovers, not grace haters. You'll find it draws you closer to the love of God and encourages you in the Lord, and yet there's some dangerous poison being mixed in with the grace message today in the Hyper Grace book. I believe will help separate truth from error. To get the book, we have numbered signed copies that we're sending out with the scripture verses. We send them $30, postage paid, and 100% of this money goes right back into our radio ministry and outreach. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. And you can go straight to our website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, to order. When you're there, click on the latest video, all right, at askdrbrown.org, and check out Hyper Grace, What Are You Drinking?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining me today on the Line of Fire, coming your way live from Orlando, Florida. I'm scheduled to speak at a Messianic Jewish Leaders Conference, teaching all day Sunday, preaching Sunday night, teaching Monday morning, then doing radio live from Orlando, and then flying out to New York. Hopefully the weather will have cleared enough to do that for special meetings Wednesday, Thursday, Nassau County, Suffolk County on Long Island, and then Manhattan, New York City, all Thursday afternoon. 866-34-TRUTH. We're going to take a break just for a minute from the subject of my appearing on Benny Hinn's TV show and take a couple of generic questions. George, you may have set a record by holding for 90 minutes today, but thank you, sir. I saw you were still there, so let's change subjects and go to your question. How's the weather there first?
Oh, it's like a blizzard out here. It's crazy. We probably got like 10 inches of snow, if not more.
All right. So is power cut off or anything?
No, actually, the power stayed on with us, but it was the winds got to a point where the branches started falling down, but it wasn't not nearly as bad as last year. Last year was just uncomparable to this.
Got it. You know, I remember we came in from India, Nancy and I, with three friends in 1993, and we were sunburned from being out in the heat in India, and it was March. We were there from February into March, and it was getting hotter and hotter. So we did not – we traveled with – some extra coats in our bag, but basically it was hot there. We arrived at Kennedy Airport. It was the worst blizzard of the century. Everything we flew in, but couldn't get out. And it was unreal to see the effects of it. So I know when it hits, I remember the drifts that would, you know, go over the tops of the cars and things. So
yeah.
But it's not quite that bad though.
No. We do have drifts, but nothing is quite as bad though.
All right. Well, thanks for the weather update. All right. Your question. And I'm sending you a free copy of Hyper Grace after holding for 90 minutes on the air, all right?
I appreciate it. I've been doing a study of the Old Testament, and the question that I guess I would have to you is, was there like a – I just wonder why or how the people of God, when in the Old Testament, knew that a book was inspired. Was there like a certain measurement they used? Was there a certain bloodline or miracles that was performed that they knew that this book was truly the inspired word of God?
Yeah, it's a great question how the books of the Bible were recognized and how some got in there that you wonder why is that there and others weren't included you can wonder about. But here's the long and short of it. Everything looks forward and backwards from the Exodus. When God came down and demonstrated to the world that he alone was God, he was God over nature, he was God over the false gods of Egypt, he alone was God. That meant that the promises given previously to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were true, that this was the true God. And now the law was given, and that which supported this revelation and continued with it now built on that foundation. So that sets apart the five books of Moses. Now in different generations, God raised up prophetic voices, and through their prophetic ministry, they were recognized as true. It's interesting as we're talking about prophecy today and alleged false prophecy and the seriousness of that, etc. So these prophets would then speak on behalf of God, reinforcing the law, reinforcing what had come. And some of them, according to Jewish tradition, were the ones who wrote the historical books. So the historical books were received because of coming from prophets. Some were received, you know, Psalms coming from David. Or other writings, you know, much of Proverbs coming from Solomon. Nonetheless, there's still the work of the Holy Spirit, because why were other Psalms included? Psalms written many centuries later. Why are other historical books included if we can't necessarily trace them to a prophet? It seems that just in the providence of God that he caused certain things, to be received by a community of faith, that he superintended it based on the Exodus, based on God's revelation there, based on prophets confirming the law. He superintended the rest of the collection for people to understand it was his word.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So here's something really interesting. 866-34-TRUTH. There's something really interesting as we go back to your calls and talk through issues surrounding my accepting the invitation to be on Benny Hinn's TV show. We ended up recording 5 shows to go an entire week airing January 13th. I prayed. I knew there was controversy surrounding his ministry. I knew others speak very highly of him. Felt it was an invitation to take. And very pleased with the nature of the shows themselves. Very pleased with the opportunity to get this message out to millions of his viewers. And hopefully have the opportunity to get to know him better on a personal level. And if concerns that many of you are raising are accurate, I could be uniquely in a role to speak with him about those. And I was truly humbled by the degree to which he honored and esteemed me and welcomed me to speak to his audience. So we go from there, proceed from there. But folks have been calling in saying it was a wrong move to be on the show. That's fine. My goal for discussing these things, by the way, is not to I don't feel I have to defend anything, nor are you accountable to me or am I accountable to you in terms of ultimate accountability. It's to God. But I've often stepped into things that I knew would be controversial with the purpose of addressing them in a constructive way. What I want to say is absolutely wrong is the spirit of mockery that I see out there. And it may be one thing to address an extreme or to say this is a false prophecy or this is a wrong fundraising technique or this is sinful. It's another thing to mock with a tone and attitude. I've seen things sacred things that God did. Little children so overcome by a burden from the Lord that they were weeping for the lost, and I've seen people mock that as emotionalism. That grieves me. And, you know, people send me all these notes. Well, where in the Bible do people fall forward? Can I say something candidly or fall backward? I prayed for plenty of people and seen no one fall. I prayed for plenty of people and seen them fall on their back. I prayed for plenty of people and seen them fall right on their face, right on me and on the floor and laid out on their face for long periods of time, encountering God. You know what I make of it? Nothing. Because the Bible doesn't tell me to judge by whether people fall forward or backward. It tells me to judge by how they live and what they believe. So the mocking spirit is absolutely wrong, as wrong as a spirit of extreme gullibility. Both are wrong. That's why those who believe the gifts and power of the Spirit are for today, and those who do not believe them, or those who accept certain forms of God moving today and others reject them, that's why we need to talk to each other and listen to each other. And where we do have blind spots or weak spots, we can help each other. And where we have strengths, we can help each other. 866-348-7884. Let's go to Staten Island, New York. Anthony, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, thank you for taking my call.
You bet.
We've had some brief interactions through Facebook over the last couple of months.
Yeah, I'm sorry if it doesn't totally ring a bell, just because there are a bunch of folks
I'm sure,
Facebook.
Yeah.
But Staten Island, man, that's close enough. Are you going to make it into Manhattan next week?
I just heard right now, as I was waiting for the call, that you were going to be there. I wasn't aware.
Yeah, all afternoon Thursday with Kevin McCullough. We'll be doing different shows together, one after the other, from 1 to 4, the American Bible Society in Manhattan. WMCA will be hosting that. And then from 4 to 5, I'll be talking about my books, Authentic Fire, Hyper Grace, doing books, and then taking Q&A from the audience, and then doing a book signing until 6. So whatever time you get over, American Bible Society of Manhattan, it should be on my website, askdrbrown.org. But anyhow, back to you, sir. I'm all ears.
I've heard your defense of going on here, and obviously I was last night when you had posted very late if people agreed or not.
By the way, I just want to clarify something. On social media, I tried to interact with some people. I was way behind. I had scores of emails to deal with and other things. So there were literally thousands of posts between different Facebook pages and Twitter. So I only got to interact with a select few. If anything is ever abrupt or people feel I didn't take adequate time or a post was provoking, there's never the intent, and I certainly apologize for that. But no, I raised one question to clarify something.
Right.
I was not asking whether you think it's okay. If anyone thought that because the way I worded my question, I apologize. I was curious to see how there were people who, as a result of me being on the air, posted not just attacks on Bunny Hinn, but attacks on things I've been involved with personally, like Brownsville. Someone said today, it's closer to Satanism, what happened there, etc.
Yeah.
So, and then others, I was vilified already for saying Mike Pickle's a friend, or that I believe Sydney Jacobs to be a godly woman. So what I was curious to say was, okay, how many of you are totally good with me being, I was in Brownsville, I'm friends with Mike Bickle and Lou Engle, you're great with that, but you had issue with Benny Hinn. I was curious to see if that was the dividing line, or if right. I was attacked for all of the above. In other words, this was just the occasion for the attack. Like, aha, we knew something was wrong with this Brown guy. So that I posted it to try to draw out discussion. If I lacked wisdom in any of the poster, they weren't clear again. I apologize for that. But the goal was to try to draw out discussion.
I thought you were looking for consistency to say, you know, if you disagree with this, you know, but you don't disagree with Kansas City Prophets, you know what I'm saying? Where is the consistency? Because I had posted that I thought all of them were troublesome.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciated that. I don't know. I remember it being you, but I remember seeing one of those. I said, okay, good. That's consistent. That's fine. But go ahead. Back to the main reason for your call, sir.
Well, yeah, I think that there's a lot of leaven in Christianity today, and there's a lot of people who truly aren't necessarily representing the cause of Christ. And I think the problem is that people who have a certain level of stature and standing, and I've only followed you briefly, but in the brief time, you struck me as somebody who has some certain level of gravitas and importance, especially when it comes to being able to discern the Word of God and handle the Word of God. And when you end up on a show of somebody who at best is suspicious, it lends credibility to somebody who doesn't deserve any. And that's how people continue to get propped up in throughout this country who really aren't serving the cause of Christ.
So let me just ask. Yeah, of course, I understand that. But let me just ask this: What if the bigger issue was an opportunity to get to perhaps 20 million people, many of whom are exposed to the hyper grace message on the very same TV channels that I'd be on, and here Benny Hinn together with me would be renouncing the errors of hypergrace and extolling true grace and encouraging people to read hypergrace and then pointing them to Jesus in the Old Testament and to study the Word more for themselves and the need for the fear of the Lord and pointing to the real kosher Jesus. What if that was the bigger issue in God's sight and God wasn't even that concerned about Mike Brown or Benny Hinn?
Yeah.
That's one question I presented because I did pray and talk to Nancy about it. I try to use wisdom in what I'm doing. The other question is this. I know I have stature and platform in the Lord. I appreciate that. This radio broadcast gets to a lot of people. A lot of people read my articles or books. I'm very humbled by that, and I take it very seriously. But in this case, it was more Benny Hinn endorsing me because I was going on his TV show and speaking to his audience, and his TV audience is much bigger than my radio audience, at least at this stage in time. So I didn't look at it like I was endorsing him. I really wanted to get to know him. And hear him out and talk with him as a brother. I know some say he's not even saved. I mean, I have zero indication of that in my interaction with him. And if all I knew was what happened yesterday, then I would absolutely 100% be in his camp, honoring him as a humble, Jesus-loving, Word of God-based, God-fearing man. Now, if there are other issues, hopefully I'll have the opportunity to address them. But I appreciate your perspective, and I just want encourage people, hey, walk with me through this. Let's walk through this over the next few months and see what comes out of it rather than coming to a premature reaction. That's the biggest thing that I'm encouraging folks to do.
I haven't seen the shows, so obviously I can't speak to judge the effectiveness of what it is that you're talking about. And I don't view him necessarily as overly hyper-grace as much as prosperity.
Oh, yeah. But trust me.
If your intent was to correct in love, as the Bible says, then I don't have any issue with that at all. But, you know, the way it was presented, you know, on your initial post, I think, on Facebook, it was kind of like more kind of chummy. And I think that's
right.
Been...
I could have presented. I was trying to, when the first post, when I said just recorded 5 amazing shows and then watch the shows and share your thoughts, I wanted to be honoring of Benny Hinn for giving me the opportunity to do that and to speak so much to his audience in such a carte blanche way. And I also wanted to say to others, now I know you have questions, wait and see. I probably could have done that in a wiser way that was less provocatory. But Anthony, thanks for the call, and let's keep dialoguing about this.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, we have, I've shared a lot of what I wanted to share over the last 2 hours about being on the air with Benny Hinn. I really encourage you to watch the TV shows that will begin airing January 13th. And if he had asked me to come on the air to talk about prosperity, wouldn't have happened. If he had asked me to come on the air to talk about word of faith, wouldn't have happened. If he asked me to come on the air and talk about Jesus in the Old Testament and the dangers of hyper grace, you know, two separate subjects, I prayed, felt it was a wonderful open door to do it. I did it. You said, well, did you address the other issues? No. It was not time or place to address any other issues. Time and place to seek to build a relationship. Hey, look, I'm the one that for now 6 months has been appealing to John MacArthur to sit down and talk face to face with either a no response or simply either no response at all or a response of no, if I rightly understood the last one from his team up till now. I've been the one saying, find me a scholar, professor, someone that spoke at the Strange Fire Conference, a professor at Master's Seminary. Let's have a moderated, full-length public debate on the gifts of the Spirit today for today. Let's do it in a civil, Jesus-glorifying way. No response to that. Okay. and by the way, if I was invited to the Strange Fire Conference to give my perspective or to debate an issue or to sit there and face critics, I would have done it in a heartbeat. I would have considered it a privilege and an honor to have been invited to do so. And to repeat this, if Master's Seminary, John MacArthur Seminary, invited me to teach a Jewish apologetics class there and said you are not to say a word about the things of the Spirit, and if anyone asked you, you'd just refer to our doctoral statement, it'd be an honor. No, I'm not expecting the invitation, even though I know some of the folks there appreciate my apologetics work. But I do that in a heartbeat. I consider it an honor. So that's the same motivation that got me on the air with Benny Hinn. And if many of the concerns you're raising are true concerns, now pray for me because it looks like I'll really be able to have a relationship with him as well as an open door to share many important truths with his very large listening audience. And trust me, to have the wisdom to conduct myself in an honorable way through this. Some of you don't know me at all. Give it a little time, all right? How's that? Give it a little time. All right, and those of you that really want to talk about these things, we'll continue. If we can have a constructive discussion, we'll continue to do so on Monday. I'll continue to take calls, God willing, on Monday. Fair enough? So we can continue to talk these issues through. Eric in Orlando, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing, sir?
I'm blessed, man. Thanks. What's your perspective?
Well, my father has known Pastor Benny for over 40 years. He knew him before he was married. My dad has been a pastor for over 40 years, and we've loved him. He's been a part of my family has known him for many years, and he's been a faithful man of God all those years. I had the opportunity of spending personal time with him over the last few years, and he has been nothing but gracious and kind and very Christ-like in everything that I have, all my interaction with him. Even his teaching has been very dripping with just the anointing and the presence of the Spirit, and I have nothing but positive things to say about his impact on my life and my family.
All right, Eric, let me ask you this, and obviously it's voices like that I was hearing from those that know him and have worked with him for many years that encouraged me to get on the air. As I was fully aware of criticisms and concerns, I just had not focused on either side. Just said, okay, I'll go in there with a clean slate. But someone like Justin Peters called, everything about what he said sounded sincere to me. Everything about what he said sounded concerned. I wasn't there to judge him. I was just there to listen to him. But I didn't hear malice in his voice or that he was on some, you know, mission of hatred and destruction. But the question about prophecies that never came to pass that were very specific or manipulative fundraising techniques, have these been repudiated? Do you feel they're false charges? What's your perspective as someone that traveled with him or was close to the ministry for a couple of years?
Yeah, I had the privilege of traveling with him for a year for Pastor Bunky, setting up booths for him. So I heard him preach a lot, and I watched his full-blown, you know, crusades many times. I never personally heard anything that I was alarmed about. I never heard any of these statements that have been brought up in the show. If they were said, I'm 100% positive from my personal relationship and knowledge of him that he would not say that today. I mean, I've only been in the ministry full-time for 3 years, and I'm sure there's things I've said my first year in ministry that I would not say today, just based upon the growth. And Pastor Benny's been in the ministry faithful for 35 years, and I'm sure that in the course of his growth in ministry, that there's been things that he said in the beginning that he wouldn't say today, which is the case for most people.
All right. So again, I just want to make clear, I'm not denying anything that's been brought up. I'm not downplaying the seriousness of anything that's brought up. I'm simply allowing people to share different perspectives. And by the way, I will personally be following up, interacting with Justin Peters. Some folks had encouraged me to do so after the Strange Fire conference, and I've been very open to. I know he's focused a lot on Word of Faith issues. So I'm looking forward to interacting personally with Justin and perhaps having him on for an extended broadcast with me. Eric, just last thing, are you close enough to his family to say that he's been genuinely reconciled to his wife? Is that just a PR thing, or is this something you've witnessed firsthand?
Well, to be completely honest, I had a tremendous opportunity and honor to be in his house with him and watched him and his wife like two lovebirds. They were in love and very kind with one another. It was 100% genuine to me. I was there for a couple of days and watched them walk through the streets together like they were on date nights with us. So it was, I've seen nothing but positive, real reconciliation. I attended the wedding as well, and it was a wonderful, wonderful
event. Hey, Eric, I appreciate the call very much. Thanks for weighing in. All right, friends, obviously phone lines have been jammed. I apologize for not having 50 hours. Well, I don't apologize. We have as much time as we do. Not able to take more calls. We are on our way off the air. But tell you what, let's do this. Pray with me for God's best for everyone involved, and let's watch what unfolds in the next few weeks and the next few months. All right? Let's do that. In fact, there are plenty of other issues to focus on. I have guests coming on in the coming weeks about many, many other issues and subjects. Let's give this time and let's pray and let's see what happens. By all means, stay in touch with me via Facebook or Twitter. Go to my website, AskDrBrown, askdrbrown.org, and click on Facebook, Twitter icons, email icons to receive e-blasts from us, YouTube to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you differ with me on this, please allow me to serve you in the areas where you do agree. All right, the Hyper Grace book, this is the last day we're doing this. We have numbered copies that I'm signing and sending to you personally. Your gift of $30 helps us with this radio ministry, and we'll send this out to you. 1-800-278-9978. Again, this is numbered first edition signed copies. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, let us do our very best to honor the Lord with every fiber of our being, and where we differ with one another, let us pray.